Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara is trying to reconcile the Shitot of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. And in that vein, the Gemara also brought down a machloket between Rabbi Chia and Bar Kappara. Now, it could be, and even on the surface, it looks like that Rabbi Chia and Bar Kappara have nothing to do with necessarily the other machloket, because they give reasons in their arguments as to why they have their positions. But the Gemara obviously had some form of misora that this was the case, that this related to the machloket of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, or maybe because of the lashon in the brayto that we bring with Rabbi Chia and Bar Kappara that say, hitchil adun, he began to look into the matter, as if this wasn't the only reason. There was something else underlying the reason, or the fact that they took a shavuah, that this was definitely the case, shows that there was something that they were trying to emphasize and to back up. Now, yesterday's daf, we discussed the position of Rabbi Yossi, which was that we had the first braita that said, Ba'aleha chayav aleha mishum eshet ach umishum achot isha divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that you're chayav for eshet ach and achot isha, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, enu chayav aleha mishum eshet ach bilvad. And then we had another braita that says, enu chayav aleha mishum achot isha bilvad. So Rabbi Shimon seems to believe ein isur chalal isur, whereas Rabbi Yossi seems to allow for isur chalal isur. The problem was that we brought an additional braita that seems to indicate that Rabbi Yossi says when it came to eshet ish and chamuto, then he's nidon bezika rishona, that whichever one is first, that's the one that determines what punishment that he's going to get. Yesterday we tried to reconcile those issues. We had the answer of Rav Adar Ba'ava, which was rejected in the end because of the problem of Yisr Kolel. And then we had Robo's answer, which is, we're not necessarily here after Yisurim that you're going to bring Chataot for, or Yisurim that you're going to be punished for, but rather, these are Yisurim. We want to know how many Yisurim you violated, and my nafkamino is to classify this individual, and we're bearing them as to how severe was their violation in this instance. That's where the Gemara left off. Then we moved into this machlok between Rabbi Chia and Bar Kappara, where we have two Isurim that come together. In each instance, Rabbi Chia says you're chayav two, and Bar Kappara says you are chayav one. The Gemara in the end says, b'mai kamiflige, and this is the top of Lamed Gimel, what is this machloket about? The Gemara says, b'isur kolel, b'liba d'Rabbi Yossi. They're arguing about whether isur kolel is one of the exceptions to the rule of ein isur chalal isur. We've already seen that Isir Mosif is an exception to the rule. Now we're discussing Isir Kolel, which the Gemara rejected out of hand yesterday as being, no, it does not overcome Ein Isir Chalal Isir, but here we have a machloket about it, at least according to the Avamina here, which is that they're arguing in this way. Rabbi Chia Savar, Rabbi Yossi, B'Isir Kolel, Mechayiv Tarte, that Rabbi Yossi believes that when you have an Isir Kolel, it overcomes the problem of Ein Isir Chalal Isir, and therefore it's going to be problematic in these cases where we have multiple Isurim. Bar Kappara Savar lo mechayev elachado. In these instances, you're only chayav one when there's an Isur Kolel. So each of these instances, we're going to speak about what they are. The Isur Kolel, we have two Isurim, one which precedes the other. And the question is, does the second Isur take effect? So according to Rabbi Chia, the second Isur takes effect because the second Isur is an Isur Kolel. It's an Isur that adds on another dimension to the problem here. Again, when we talk about Isur Mosif, we're speaking about the specific object. That specific object then has more Isurim associated with it. When we talk about Isur Kolel, is that this activity is asur to or affects more people than just the individual who was involved before. So the question in each of these cases is that second Isur, what's the nature of the Isur? And we're suggesting that it's an Isur Kolel now. And based on that, Rabbi Chia says, well, if it's an Isur Kolel, that overcomes the problem of Ein Isur Chalal Isur, therefore you're Chayav too. And Bar Kappara says, that's not the case by Rabbi Yossi, that you only Mechayev Chado. Then you have to go back, based on those positions now, and explain Rabbi Yossi's position earlier on. Remember, we have Rabbi Yossi, who says, by Achot Isha and Eshet Ach, that you're Chayev Shtaim. And we have Rabbi Yossi in the Braita, who says that you are Chayav Achat when it comes to Chamuto and Eshed Ish. So now, based on these positions, Rabbi Chia is saying you're Chayav Tarte even by Yisr Kolel. That will explain, Rabbi Yossi, before, why by Eshet Ach and Achol Tisha, you're Chayav too. You're Chayav too because in one direction it's an Iser Mosif, and in the other direction it's an Iser Kolel. And that's why in both directions you will be Chayav. Now, you also have the Braita which has Chamuto and Eshet Ish. Over there you have Iser Kolel. So one direction it's Iser Mosif, one direction it's an Iser Kolel. So as we discussed yesterday, even in the direction that it's an Iser Mosif, which is in the instance where it's Eshet Ish comes after Chamuto, Chamuto is only a problem for this individual, his mother-in-law. Eshet Ish is a problem for everybody. She becomes a surah to everyone. That's an Iser Mosif. But since the punishment of Chamuto is more severe than the punishment of Eshet Ish, Chamuto is b'sreifa, Eshet Ish is b'chenek, so even if both Iserim take effect, the punishment you're going to get is still just the punishment for Chamuto, because Chamuto is more Chamura. In the other direction, you have an Iser Kolel, and this will present a problem for Rabbi Chia, because in the case where she was an Eshet Ish first, and then Chamuto was added on, then you have an Iser Kolel, which now, according to Rabbi Chia, would result in dual punishment, and you should get the Chamuto punishment, not the Eshet Ish punishment. Yet Rabbi Yossi says Eshet Ish. So one solution we saw yesterday, we discussed this yesterday, was the Tosafot says that only applies, Iser Kolel only applies in two instances. One is when it's Shem Achat, they derive from the same restriction. And number two is when it's more Chamur, when the second Iser is more Chamur. And for that reason, over here, Chamuto layered on top of Eshet Ish will not be an Iser Kolel according to Tosafot because it fails that test. It's not Shem Achat, fails the test, and therefore it won't be called the Iser Kolel. There are others who suggest that you just have to set up that bright in a case where the woman that he's marrying has no other relatives. And so it's just mother-in-law that came in, then it's not an Iser Kolel. That's another way to avoid it. But that's the way Rabbi Chia is going to explain the positions of Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, Bar Kappara says that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Iser Kolel. Now, if he doesn't hold of Iser Kolel, then how does he deal with the statements that we have before in Rabbi Yossi? Then we have later on, we had the Braitot that split Rabbi Shimon up. And in splitting up the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, there we stated that in the case where Rabbi Shimon argues here, Rabbi Shimon Omer Eino Chayav Ela Mishum Eshet Ach Bilvad, which was the Braita that we brought that said that Rabbi Yossi thinks you're Chayav for both of them. Over there, Rabbi Shimon says, Eino Chayav Ela Mishum Eshet Ach Bilvad. The Gemara's answer about how that worked was, which Iser came first for Rabbi Shimon? That means in that Braita's instance, the Iser of Eshet Ach came first, and then Achot Tisha. Well, that makes it into a case of Iser Kolel. If that's the case, then that Braita is talking about Iser Kolel, and Rabbi Yossi says you're Chayav too. So when Rabbi Yossi says you're Chayav too, that really supports the position of Rabbi Chia, not the position of Bar Kappara. So the way Rashi learns over here, Rashi notes that, and he says, V'hagdiktani Rabbi Shimon Omer no Chayav ala Mishum Eshet Ach, in that Braita, Di'ukimna, we set it up in a case, Benosa mate, when the brother that passed away married first, meaning that the problem of Eshet Ach came first, V'achakach Nasachai, then we added on Achot Tisha, which makes it into Nisr Kolel, Rabbi Chia, Tanila. Rabbi Chia learns it that way, Bar Kappara, Lo Tanila. Bar Kappara can't learn it that way. Because if he learns it that way, it leaves it as an Nisr Kolel, and Rabbi Yossi is saying, you're Chayav, Shtayim. So Rashi says you cannot learn that, and you have to believe that Bar Kappara has a different view. Either he doesn't have the other Braito, or he has to learn the setup of these situations differently because of the problem that it would present for his position in Rabbi Yossi. If we say Rabbi Yossi is Chayiv Shtayman in Iser Kolel, that goes against his position. So he has to set it up in a case of Iser Mosif, which would make it the reverse of the scenario that we set up before. The other Rishonim argue that you do not have to drop it over here. That's what Tosfot says. V'nir devar kapara nami tanila u'lekavro ben rishayim gemurim. Tosfot says you could keep Bar Kappara that way. He can learn the Gemara that way. Why did Rabbi Yossi say two? That's what Rava said yesterday. It doesn't mean that you're going to be chayav two. It only means that you have two isurim here, and everybody agrees that to bury him amongst the rishayim, that's enough. It doesn't matter kolel, not kolel, whether you're really chayav or culpable for it. Nevertheless, you're going to be tagged as a rasha that violated two isurim. And that's the way Tosafot says that we can fit Bar Kappara back into what was happening before. All right, so now, based on that, We can now move forward and understand what this machloket is. Umay isur kolel ika hacha. So what isur kolel are there in the three cases? Remember that we had three cases, Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kapara yesterday. The first case is zar shishimesh bishabbat. The number two was balmum shishimesh bituma. And the last one is zar shachal melika. Those are the three cases that we had. So Gemara says, bishlama zar, in the case where we're talking about zar, mi'ikara shari b'malacha, va'asur b'avoda. Until this point in time, being a non-Kohen permitted him to do malacha, because any day of the week he can do malacha, but he can't do the avoda because he's not a Kohen. So as a zar, he has no avoda, but yes, malacha. Achilei Shabbat. Shabbat comes along and says, Migo deka mitzar b'malacha, mitzar nami b'avoda. Over here, where you became asur in the malacha as well, because Shabbat adds on the additional aspect of Isur malacha. Therefore, we also add on, at that same time, the Isur avoda, meaning the malacha in the Mikdash, will also become asur, even though avoda was already asur to you, but because malacha is extending that Isur beyond the boundaries that you had before, it will also, migo, affect the avoda itself. And as Rashi explains over here, v'hacha lo shayich mosif. This is not called an iser mosif, because shalo nitosaf iser ala chaticha. Dainu avoda. The avoda was already a surah, and it's not like you're just adding an iser on top of the avoda. No. Here is a broader iser that affects more items. This individual now is not only a surah in avoda, he's also a surah in milacha. So now that there are more iserim in this situation, that makes it into an iser kolel. That iser kolel then grabs with it the avoda and says, not only is it asur be'avoda, it's also asur be'malacha on Shabbat. Because in areas outside of the avoda, you're now asur be'malacha, so too, by avoda, you're going to be asur malacha. Even though in the Mikdash, avoda is muteret on Shabbat, when it's avodat tzibur, when it's anything to do with the korban tzibur, or things that are doche Shabbat. So, there are things that are doche Shabbat, despite the fact this individual will be covered by both the Isra of Avoda and the Isra of Malacha, because he's Asura and Malachot beyond the boundaries of the Isra of Avoda. So since his Isra now expanded, that expansion of the Isra now makes it that not only does it affect the expanded areas, it also affects the core area, which is Avoda. Balmum, in the case of Balmum, Mikara Shari Be'achila, Vasur Be'avoda. In the beginning, he was Mutar to eat, but he could not do Avoda. Because a Baal Mum is precluded from doing avoda in the Mikdash, but he's allowed to participate in the Kodoshim. He's allowed to eat from the Kodoshim. Itamile, after he became Tamei, he now cannot eat Kodoshim as well. So Migo de Kamitzar Ba'achila, again, you've expanded the Isur beyond the boundaries of avoda now. You're not just Asur and avoda, now he's Asur to eat Kodoshim as well. So Mitzar Nami Ba'avoda. So since the Tuma affects not only his world of eating Kodashim, it should also affect now the world of doing Avoda. Now, even though he was precluded from Avoda before, the fact that you added on the Isur Tuma, which is an Isur Kolel, which includes a broader spectrum of items that now are incorporated under this Isur, it will also include the problem of Avoda. And if he does Avoda Bituma, there'll be a problem, even though a Kohen, normal Kohen who does Avoda B'tuma, it's Tuma Hutra B'tzibur with regards to Karbonot Tzibur, it wouldn't be a problem. But since he's already restricted in the Avoda, and now he has another Isur of Achilat Kodashim because he's Tamei, that additional Isur that is broader than the Isur Avoda will then incorporate Avoda as well, and you will have also an Isur of both Avoda and Tuma here if he does the Avoda B'tuma, the Baal Mum. Ela Malika B'vat Achat hi demishkachatla, bi'isir kolel lo mishkachatla. By Malika, you can find it simultaneously, but you cannot find it bi'isir kolel. You can't create an isir kolel by Malika. It's interesting for a number of reasons. First of all, as I mentioned yesterday, there are certain exceptions to the rule of ein isir chalal isur. Here we have the third one. We didn't get to this yesterday. Yesterday we discussed isir mosif and isir kolel. Today we're adding on another, which is bevat achat. When the Isurim come simultaneously. When they come simultaneously, it's hard to say in Isur Chalal Isur because there was no one that was first that would take out the second one. So since they came simultaneously, they would then be chal, even though they're two isurim. Now, in terms of hierarchy, it seems that bat achat is the strongest exception to the rule. Isur mosif is the next, and isur kolel is the weakest. So we would suggest that everybody agrees by bat achat. And if you hold of isur mosif, you certainly hold of bat achat. Bat achat is the strongest exception to the rule, and therefore when you have bat achat, everybody agrees that both isurim are chal. And there might be only one exception by bat achat, the question of whether it has to be isur chamur in the bat achat situation. That's a machloket rishonim. Then you have isur mosif, where there we understand if the object itself now has more isurim associated with it, that's an exception rule. And then we have isur kolel, which is that if we expand beyond the world that we're in. Now over here, by the case of melika, the Gemara says you can only come up with a case of bat achat, you can't come up with a case of kolel. Because prior to this point, the individual was a zar. Now, a zar is, at that moment, usur in nevela, and usur in melika. Melika just results in a nevela. And in addition to that, he's usur in eating kodashim. But both of those items exist. It's not like one happened after the other. The isur nevela is always problematic for him. Isur nevela didn't show up just because of the mikdash. Now, as opposed to Shabbat, which comes once a week, therefore he's mutar b'melacha, Shabbat comes in, then we add on the restrictions of melacha at that point in time. Someone is tahor, then they become tamei. At that point in time, you've changed the dynamic. Over here, with isur nevela, there's no addition here. He was a zar all along, and the isur nevela existed all along. So there's no isur kolel here because they both were there, both in place, prior to the melika being done. There is nothing added over here. So then the Gemara says, okay, I can find it bebat achat. I can find it when it happens simultaneously. Now, the question is, how do you find it when it happens simultaneously? This is not so simple. Rashi already notes the issue. Tosafot tries to deal with the issue as well, which is you have the problem. Melika is done by the Kohen placing his thumb behind the neck of the bird and pushing it through. As soon as he does that, the bird becomes a nevela. Outside of the context of Mikdash, the bird is now a nevela. That happens immediately, which is as soon as he's killing the bird becomes a nevela. The problem comes up, when does the problem of Zar come up over here? And that's a bigger issue, because the problem of Zar is actually delayed. At first, the individual is only a sur to this item because of a problem of me'ila, of misappropriation of Hekdesh. Misappropriations of Hekdesh are when something is asur, because it belongs to the Mizbeach, it belongs to Hashem, and therefore you're misappropriating it. The problem of Zarut, of a foreigner getting involved in Kodoshim, is only applicable when there's Shat Heter LeKohanim. The Kohanim are mutarim to eat it, then the Zar may not eat it. But if the Kohanim are not mutar to eat it, then the Zar can't eat it. That is deferred, because not when you shecht it happens, it only happens, the Heter LeKohanim only happens after the Zrikat Hadam, and then the bird becomes mutar, the me'ila drops off, and then at that point, when the me'ila drops off, that's when the Easter Zar picks up. So how do I reconcile between the fact that you're saying, oh, it's bat achat, meantime, nevela happens right away, and the Easter of Zarut is postponed until it's mutar for them to eat the bird. So Tosa was the one who poses the question, and he answers like this, V'esh lomar, the Easter nevela nami lo chayal ad achar zrika. He says, you know what? Isur's nevela also is postponed. You know why? Denafke isur meila, delo chayil isur nevela al isur meila, de chamer mine. Over here, the isur of meila is more chamur, then the isur of nevela will not take effect. It will also be postponed. Since there's an isur meila over here, that isur meila will cause a postponement both of the isur zarut and the isur of nevela. That means only once the meila disappears does the issue of zar and the Vela come, and that'll happen simultaneously.
But when does the Isur Me'ilah?
So the Isur Me'ilah is already chal for when you're Magdishit, because then there is an Isur Me'ilah. The birds are Kodshei Kodashim, because it's a Chatat and an Olah. There's only types of birds you could bring. So the birds are Kodesh Kodashim. Kodesh Kodashim means that they have a Chiyuv Me'ilah from the time that they're already Mukdash. So they are a Chiyuv Me'ilah from the time that he was Magdish, the animal, for the particular Korban. And the Me'ilah only drops away once you've done whatever's supposed to be done when there's a heter lekohanim. The fact that the Isur exists won't allow any other Isur to take effect. Because that's ain Isur chal Isur. It's the way it works. So that's how Tosafot answers. And then, if you look in Rashi, Rashi is hinting at that. Rashi answers you without telling you the question. He says, "Kol zman shom limlika hayalea iser miila." Says as long as it wasn't any milika, he says there's no iser miila. So he's suggesting, Rashi suggests over here that the iser miila disappears at the time that you do milika, and that might have to do with the position of bar kapara in other places, which is that the heter zrika is mishanira lizrika. Doesn't literally mean when you do the zrika dadam, but actually once you're ready to do the zrika dadam, at that moment, that's called heter, and the mi'ila goes away. So maybe at the moment of malika, is Rashi suggesting, since now it's ready for zrika, that already takes away the malika, and that means at the same moment that the malika is done, so is the chalut of the problem of zar happened. And Rabbi Shimon believes that the isur of zarut happens even prior to zrika. And so now that the mi'ila is removed, you have the isur zarut and the isur nevela happening at a simultaneous moment just earlier. And that might be what Rashi is hinting to versus Tosafot's explanation that it all happens simultaneously once there's heter kohanim after the zrika, because that's when there's heter kohanim and the zarut starts. That's when the mi'ila goes away and the nevela takes effect. And that's what Tosafot discusses. Rashi seems to be saying something similar. All right, so that's how they get to Babat Achat over here with regards to the question about the Malika and the Nevela. There is another suggestion by the Raivud who suggests that the Bat Achat that we're speaking about over here is the way that we solve the problem with the other cases. Bat Achat by Malika is that the person was a Katan and he only became a Gadol later on. After the bird was already Nimlak and it was already Mutar LeKohanim, they'd done the Zrika Dadam, and then all of a sudden he becomes a Gadol. So at that point, when he becomes a Gadol, he has an Iser of Zar, and the Iser of Nevela happen simultaneously. So that's the way the Raivad explains it. Most of the Rishonim reject it and try to explain it the way that Tosafot explains it over here, that you don't need to do that in order to get the Bat Achat problem. Right now, Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, that the last case can't find Iser Kolo, that can't be what Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kapara are arguing about. Ela kamiflage bi Iser b'bat achat. They argue about simultaneous Iserim. Valib de Rabbi Yossi, in Rabbi Yossi's position. Rabbi Chiya savar Rabbi Yossi b'Iser b'bat achat mechayev tarte. He thinks you're chayev two. Ubar Kapara savar lo mechayev ela chado. You only chayev one. So b'bat achat. So what Rabbi Chiya will suggest now is the bright that we brought before where Rabbi Yossi says you're chayev shtayim, is a brayta where it happened, bevat achat. Now Rashi explains, how do you have a case of eshet ach and achot ishto where it's bevat achat? He says, kigom, in an instance where the brothers appointed a shliach to go ahead and behead and be mekadesh these women on their behalf, and the women appointed a shliach to accept the kiddushin on their behalf, and the two shlichim, the two agents, meet. And the one agent passes the kedushim to the other agent. So there at the same moment, both marriages take effect. And since both marriages take effect at the same time, that's bevat achat. That's how Rashi describes how Rabbi Yossi will say that you're chayav shtayim by the case of achot isha and eshet ach. Other hand, Tosafot says you don't have to come to that because you could argue that it's an iser mosif over there. And certainly Rabbi Yossi holds by iser mosif that it overrides ein iser chalal isur. And so therefore you can get to the shtayim over there by Iser Mosif in one direction, and the other direction where it's an Iser Kolel, you'll have to say, like Rabbi Chiya answered before, that it's Bat Achat. That's the way Rabbi Chiya will explain all the situations. He'll explain all the situations that the case where he says you're Chayv Shtayim, that's Bevat Achat. The case where Rabbi Yossi says you're Chayv Achat, that's a case where it wasn't Bevat Achat. And that will be the difference between whether you're Chayv Shtayim or Chayv Achat in the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Shimon was arguing in this case, in the case of Bat Achat, is arguing because he says this is a case where it's not an Iser Chamur. Since it's not an Iser Chamur, then there's no adding on of Bat Achat. Because Bat Achat only takes place when the second Iser is an Iser Chamur. Or only takes place when the Iserim are on par. But not in any case where one of the Iserim is at a lower level. Rabbi Shimon Shita will be premised on that. And then the next Braita where he says you're only Chayav for Achot Isha, that'll be in a case where it's not Bat Achat. So that's the way that we'll have to explain the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, according to the way that Rabbi Chiya is now explaining Rabbi Yossi. According to Bar Kapara, who says that even Bevat Achat, you're not Chayiv Shtayim, that in that instance, of course, he'll be able to explain the Braita that says you're only Chayiv Achat, because it's a case where it's not Bevat Achat. The case where he says Shtayim, he's going to have to argue in that case that there you have to say that he's counting Isurim. Now, even though in general, by Isur Mosif and Bat Achad, Bat Achad is a stronger issue, and we see that for Rabbi Yossi, there is an exception of Isur Mosif. Why over here, Bat Achad is Bar Kapara going to say that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold the Bat Achad? So Tosafot explains that, and I mentioned this before, that one of the cases where Bat Achad might not work is a case where there's an Isur Kal. One of the Isurim is a much lighter form of Isur. And that's what the Riz says here. It says, V'omeri b'vadai Isur Bat Achad Adif. It's no question that Bat Achad is a stronger exception to the rule of Ein Isur Kal Isur. Oh, the Savar Bar Kapara, the Davka b'Isur b'Bat Achad Tehalcha. In the cases that we bring down, Kagon Achotisha, Tuma, Shabbat, and Nevela, Delo Chayla, Hainu Mishum Dehutra, V'hadehayi Delo Hutra. Because they are mixed together with another Isur. All of those Isurim that I just mentioned are Isurim that have a heter in some place. First of all, let's look at Shabbat. Shabbat is overridden by the Avodah and the Mikdash. Nevela is overridden by Achilat Ofot for the Kodoshim that the Kohanim have. The Achot Isha is overridden when the woman dies. And in the case of Tumah, is overridden by Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. So they are weaker Isurim. So what Bar Kapara suggests over here is that yes, generally, Bat Achat is an exception to the rule. Over here, it's not an exception to the rule because here the Isurim that are together are Isurim that are Kal and Chamur. And since they're in Isur Kal and Isur Chamur, only the Isur Chamur is Kal. The Isur Kal is not Kal because it's Hutar Michlalo. It has areas where the Isur does not take hold. So that's Bar Kapara Shita over here, that Bat Achat, yes, is stronger than Isur Mosif. And Rabbi Yossi holds of Isur Mosif, but over here you won't hold the Bat Achat because Bat Achat doesn't qualify. It's not called Bat Achat here because the Isurim are on different levels. So even though they happen simultaneously, since they're on different levels, they don't take effect. That's the way Tosafot explains this position of Bar Kapara, so that even though Rabbi Yossi holds of Isur Mosif, he won't hold of Bat Achat. And that's not because Bat Achat is weaker than Isur Mosif, Bat Achat is stronger than Isur Mosif, but you have this problem of question of whether it's chamor or not chamor versus Isur Mosif, where it's irrelevant if it's chamor or not chamor, because by Isur Mosif, you're just adding on more Isurim. What does it matter if the Isur that you added on is kal or chamor? It's just about the fact that this object now has more Isurim associated with it. More is the key word here, not about how much more, whether it's more kal or more chamor. It's a quantitative addition, not a qualitative addition. Whereas with Bat Achat, there is a qualitative question as to whether the Isurim are equal or they're not on an equal plane. So that's the way Tosafot explains Bar Kapara. Again, Rashi says over here that the case by Eshet Ach and Achot Isha is a case where it's not Bat Achat, according to Bar Kapara. And now he'll have to explain that the case is a case of Isur Mosif, and that's why you're Chayav Shtayim in the case of Isur Mosif. And in the reverse case, he'll have to explain like Rova, which is that even though it's an Isur Kolel, he does not hold of Isur Kolel, Rabbi Yossi, but they were talking about Isurim there, we're not talking about punishments. And of course, Rabbi Chiya would believe both in the case of Bat Achat and Isur Mosif, he would end up with two Isurim. So no matter which one you go with, you'll end up with two Isurim in the case of Eshet Ach and Achot Isha. So now the Gemara says, Baha Chamai Isur Bat Achat Ika Hocha. Well, look, explain to me the cases of Bat Achat here in all the situations that we just spoke about. Zar shishimesh b'Shabbat. What Bat Achat they have? Gaon the Aiti Shtei Sarot b'Shabbat. He became an adult on Shabbat. So since he became an adult on Shabbat, he may be Shtei Sarot. Then at the moment that he becomes Asur b'Shabbat, he also becomes Asur b'Avodah. It happens simultaneously. In any other situation, if he didn't become an adult on Shabbat, he would be a Zar first, and then get into the problem of Isur Shabbat. But here, because he became an adult on Shabbat, at the same moment that he became an Isur Zar, he also became Isur B'Shabbat, and that's why it's Bevat Achat. Tavilehu Zarut B'Shabbat B'Hadei Hadodi. Zarut and Shabbat come simultaneously. Now, we just mentioned before that when you have these simultaneous Isurim, those would explain it matters which one is Chamor. Over here, Shabbat is clearly more Chamor than Zarut. So why is it that they are Chal together? Well, that's what Tosafot says. Shabbat is a weaker type of Isur because it's Hutar Michlalo. Since it's Hukhudar Michlalo with the Grabe Avoda on Shabbat, when you put Shabbat and Zarut together, they're not necessarily unequal at this point. Even though the punishment for the violation of Shabbat is much more severe, in the context of Avoda and in the Mikdash, Shabbat has dispensations, and therefore the Isur Shabbat in that context does not override the Isur of Zarut, and therefore they can be Chal simultaneously. Balmum Na'ami, the case of Balmum, Kagon. Now here, it's a little strange, the Gemara, but Rashi clarifies, Kagon, the Aiti Shtei Sarot, Bitamile. He became an adult, and then he became Tameh. It's clear that he couldn't become Tameh after he's an adult, because that doesn't help. So the Itamile was, he was Tameh beforehand. That he was a Balmum and Tameh, and then he became an adult. So as soon as he became an adult, he has a problem of Balmum, and a problem of Avodah Betuma that are simultaneous at that time. Inami, or the other case is shechatach etzbo b'sakin tmeya, that he cut his finger off with a tamei knife. Now, what exactly the scenario is over here is not so clear, because as soon as he picks up the knife, he becomes tamei. So if he picked up the knife, he was tamei before he cut his finger and became a balmum. So what is the scenario in which this happens? Tosafot, it's the last Tosafot on the Amud, says something interesting. He says it's a case. His finger was hanging by a thread, the last thread that it was hanging on. And as soon as he touched the knife, he became a balmum and tameh at the same time. Now, obviously, it can't be again that he picked up the knife. It has to be that he fell on the knife, or his hand hit the knife, and when it hit the knife, it cut off the last thread of his finger, and it made him tameh at the same time. So Tosafot believes that simultaneous means literally simultaneous, and therefore he has to have them together. The Tosfot Yishanim over here says, you know what? Beishlamar came to leka rak zman muat bintayim chashvin lei bavat achat. Bavat achat doesn't mean literally simultaneously. It means, you know, within the same motion at the same time. So over here, if he fell on a knife and it cut off his finger, yes, he became tamei as soon as he touched the knife and the finger came off. But in that same action that he fell on the knife, he became a balmum and became tamei, and that's enough to be called bavat achat. Now the Chazon Ish over here points out that with regards to this issue of Bevat Achat, that the Gemara here explains it's a case where the person becomes an adult, comes of age, and they both Yisurim are Chal on him, why don't we say the same thing before about Achot Isha and Eshet Ach? We'll say that he became Achot Isha and Eshet Ach at the moment that he became an adult. He was married to the woman beforehand. And then as soon as he becomes an adult, he'll bump into both Yisurim simultaneously, and it'll be a case of Bevat Achat in that situation. So the Chazon Ish is Mechalek, and you see this Chiluk in the Rishonim, that there's a difference between Yisurim that are Yisurim on a Chefzan, an object, versus Yisurim that are on a Gavra, an individual. Which is that when you talk about Yisurim that are generated because of this individual, those Yisurim, you can say, are Chal, Bevat Achat, when he reaches the age of Bagrut, when he reaches the age where he has Shtei Se'arot, because the Isur is from his perspective. So since the Isur is from his perspective, then that Isur is Chal at the moment that he reaches the age of Bagrut. But if the Isur is related to the Chefza, the object, meaning that the object's standing or relationship is what generates the Isur, over there you can't talk about reaching of age and then that becoming a sur at that moment, because the Isur is not generated by his coming of age. The Isur is generated by the fact that this individual or the other individual that he's interacting with carries a certain status to them. That Isur exists even before he comes of age, because the other person has that relationship with him, even though he may not be of age where the Isur is Chal. And based on that distinction, the Chazon Ish wants to say you can't use this set up of Bat Achat by Achot Isha and Eshet Ach. So now the Gemara says, Bishlam ala Rabbi Chiya, according to Rabbi Chiya ki atnei lididei alibid Rabbi Yossi. Understand Rabbi Chiya, when he put it together, he did this alibid Rabbi Yossi. Ki atnei the Bar Kapara, when he taught Bar Kapara, was alibid Rabbi Shimon. So what Rabbi Chiya will explain is, I'll explain to you why Bar Kapara and I came out with different explanations. Because when Rabbi was teaching, Rabbi taught me the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, who says, Bebat Achat, there is Isur Chalal Isur. And Bar Kapara, when he was teaching him the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who says, Any Isur Chalal Isur, period. That there is no exception to the rule. So I can explain to you how the mistake happened. Elo le Bar Kapara, Rabbi Chiya Shkurei Kamishaker, according to Bar Kapara's explanation, that this is the explanation in Rabbi Yossi, then what did Rabbi Chiya hear? When he heard Shtayim, what did he hear? What, Rabbi Chiya just made it up? That can't be the explanation. So this explanation would have been nice, except the only problem is now we can't explain how Rabbi taught different things to Bar Kappara and to Rabbi Yossi. Ella, so now we try another thing. Kamiflage bi Isser bevat achat, v'alabi de Rabbi Shimon. Yes, if we're talking about an Isser bevat achat, but we're talking according to Rabbi Shimon. Does Rabbi Shimon, who holds Ein Isser Chala as Isser, period, have an exception for bat achat? So Bishlomo, Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia, who believes that Rabbi Shimon has the exception of bat achat, and that's why in these instances, it was a leave to Rabbi Shimon, and we're saying that it was done by bat achat, and that's why there's Shnei Yisurim over here. That's why Kamishtabet. Why does he take a Shavua to say I'm right? Afuke, Rabbi Shimon, Mechezke. To take Rabbi Shimon out of his core shita. The core shita of Rabbi Shimon is Ein Isser Chalal Isser, period. So he takes a shvua that Rabbi Shimon has this exception of bat achat, because that is a big chiddush. Ela bar kapara lamele de shtibuei. Why does he take a shvua to say that Rabbi Shimon says Ein Isser Chalal Isser? That is the position of Rabbi Shimon. To say that his position is Ein Isser Chalal Isser, period, you don't need to take a shvua for that. That's maintaining what we know about Rabbi Shimon. So why did he take a shvua? Kasha. The Gemara leaves that as a kasha. That is a problem in this explanation. So even though the Gemara is actually going to take this explanation further, it's going to leave that one little issue as being a slight problem for the explanation. Now the Gemara says, Bishlama bar kapara, kiatne Rabbi lididei. When Rabbi taught bar kapara, it was alibi to Rabbi Shimon. And when Rabbi Shimon says that even bebat achat, there's only one iser. Kiatne the Rabbi Chia, when he taught Rabbi Chia, alibi to Rabbi Yossi. He taught him, according to Rabbi Yossi, who says bevat achat would have been an exception to the rule of Ein Isser Chalal Isser, and therefore there would be Shnei Yisurim over here. So the mistake that was made was Rabbi Chia thought he had heard it about Rabbi Shimon, but he had really been taught about Rabbi Yossi. And that's how Bar Kappara would explain it. Elo, Rabbi Chia, according to Rabbi Chia's explanation, Bar Kappara, Shkurei Kamishakir, you have the same problem again, which is Rabbi Chia is going to say Rabbi Shimon believes that you need to, Bevat achat, and certainly Rabbi Yossi holds that bat achat is an exception to rule in Isser Chal Isser, then what did Bar Kappara hear that he was only one Isser? Can't be that Bar Kappara just got the thing all wrong. So I'm looking at Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi Chia is going to give you an explanation. Ki atne Rabbi lididei tarte liftor atne. When Rabbi taught Bar Kappara, he taught him two of them are patur. The Isser kolel atne. V'alibid Rabbi Shimon. He said this in Isser Kolel, and he did this according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, what he's suggesting over here is that Rabbi Shimon believes that Isser Kolel is not strong enough to overcome the problem of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. But in instances of Isser Mosif or Bat Achat, maybe Rabbi Shimon would hold that it is enough to overcome the problem. Rabbi Chia himself believes that it was a case of Bat Achat, according to Rabbi Shimon. Since it's a case of Bar Achat, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's why you're Chayav Tarte. So what did Bar Kappara, why did Bar Kappara come away saying that you're only Chayav one? That's because he learned with Rabbi, and Rabbi taught him that in the two cases over here of the Breitot that we brought before, of the arguments between Rabbi Chia and Bar Kappara, Rabbi taught him in the first two cases, you're only Chayav for one Isser, according to Rabbi Shimon. The reason you're only Chayav for one Isser, according to Rabbi Shimon, is because that's a case of Isser Kolel. So Rabbi said to him, because it's Isser Kolel, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're only going to be Chayav one. V'chayzi the Bar Kappara, l'zar shachal melika. Then Bar Kappara saw there was a third case about zar shachal melika. V'aydi de damilo arva ba'adayu. He, because it's a similar type of case, he put all three of them together. V'ayin ba, v'lo ashkach, elo bevat achat. And later on, he went back and looked at these three cases together, and he says, wait a minute. That third case can only be manifest in a case of bat achat. As we saw before, the case of Malika and Zar does not work in the case of Isser Kolel. There is no Isser Kolel over there. There could only be a case of Isser bat achat. He says, well, I got these three cases that are packaged together, and the mistake was that he packaged them together. He thought that Rabbi put them together, but he himself, when he was learning, said, oh, these are all similar, let me package them together. When he was reviewing his learning later on, he saw them packaged together. He says, well, this third case is by bat achat. So he says, wait a minute. Well, if this case can only be in bat achat, that means all these three cases must be a case of bat achat. And in the first two cases, Rabbi told me, you only chayev for one isur. Now, the reason Rabbi told me you only chayev for one isur, because it was an isur kolel. But he's making the mistake and extrapolating from that third case and saying now it's all b'isur b'vata achat. And Rabbi taught me that it was only asur in one isur. So based on that, Bar Kapara made a mistake, and that's how he came to his conclusion. So Rabbi Chia will be able to explain the position of Bar Kapara and how he made the mistake. Again, it was an extrapolation that caused him the problem. Rabbi taught him about two cases, the first two cases, and said to him there, Rabbi Shimon thinks you're only chayav for one isur, because ein isur chala isur, because there it's only a case of isur kolel. Rabbi Chia then went home, was learning, and he sees a case called Zara Malika. He says, wow, this case sounds exactly like those cases. I'm going to package those three cases together, and I'll put them aside. You know, that's the learning. These three cases are the same. Later on, he comes back and looks at the three cases, and he says, okay, what was the problem here? Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur. So why is it Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur? Why did Rabbi tell me that it's not a problem? Well, let's see. Well, in the first two cases, it can be Yisur Kolel, but the third case can only be Yisur B'vat Achad. Well, if it can only be B'vat Achad in that third case, it must be that all the cases were cases of B'vat Achad. And Rabbi taught me that you're only Chayab one. There's Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur. So it must be that Rabbi Shimon holds B'vat Achad Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur. And that's how Bar Kapara came to his conclusion by piecing together what Rabbi had taught him about Isur Kolel. He forgot that it was about Isur Kolel. And by the fact that he placed this extra case, Bar Kapara put this case of Zara Malika together with the other two cases, and that caused him to make a mistake later on. So this is now our conclusion here, is that the machloket between Rabbi Chia and Bar Kapara with regards to these Isurim here, where we say two and one, is a machloket about Rabbi Shimon Shita Bebat Achat. That Rabbi Chia thinks that Rabbi Shimon says Bat Achat is an exception to the rule of Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur, whereas Bar Kapara says he thinks not. The only problem that we have with this explanation is that why did Bar Kapara take a Shavuah that he heard it that way? Because he's basically saying Rabbi Shimon is staying the way he was. And that's what the Gemara left as a kasha. But that's the only problem with this explanation, and we're going to go forward with this explanation. That's now the Gemara says, Meitavei, Zar Shishimesh B'Shabbat, Ubamum Shishimesh B'Tumah. So the first two cases that Bar Kapara and Rabbi Chia argued about, a Zar that worked on Shabbat, Avoda in the Mikdash, and a Bamum who does Avoda while he's Tamei. Yeshkan Mishum Zarut, Umishum Shabbat. Mishum Balmum, Ushum Tumah. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi clearly says, you're Chayav 2 over here. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Kan El Mishum Zarut, Ubalmum Bilvad. You only have the first Isur, not the second Isur. Vilu Malika Sharia. This Brayta that we just brought left out that last case of Zar B'Malika. Laman Shairo. Who did it leave it over for? Ilema the Rabbi Yossi. If it's because of Rabbi Yossi, hashta Rabbi Yossi be Isur Kolel mechayiv shtayim. In a case of Isur Kolel, which are the first two cases, he says you're chayav and it is Isur Chalal Isur, then Isur Bevat Achat, which is the case of Zar B'Malika Mibayid, of course he would say you're chayav shtayim. So why would you leave that case out? You would want to package them all together because they all have the same din, which is you're chayav shtayim. So why wouldn't you have packaged them together? You wouldn't have left it out according to Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi's shita, you would have kept it in. Alav the Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon's shita. And for Rabbi Shimon, they left out that last case. Why? Because it'll be Isur Kolel Hu de Patar. Only in the first two cases where it was an Isur Kolel, does Rabbi Shimon say, Ein Isur Chalal Isur, Isur Kolel doesn't override. Aval Bevisur Bevat Achat Mechayev. But in a case where it was Bevat Achat, he would be Mechayev. And that's why we left it out. That's why that case wasn't joined together with the other two cases. Tiyufta de Bar Kapara, Tiyufta, that's a very strong question against that position of Bar Kapara that Rabbi Shimon holds, by Yisur Bat Achat, you're only Chayav Achat. Because if that was the case, then you could have packaged that last case in, even according to Rabbi Shimon. And why was it left out? So the only reason it could have been left out is because of Rabbi Shimon's Shita, where he thinks that Bat Achat is different than Yisur Kolel. Yisur Kolel doesn't override any Yisur Chal Yisur, but Bat Achat does. And that's why they had to separate that case out, because the din would be different according to Rabbi Shimon. In the first two cases, there would only be one Isur. In that latter case of Zar B'Malika, you'd actually be Chayav Shtayim because of Isur Chalal Isur, because it happens Bevat Achat. And therefore, it's a big problem and undermines that Shito of Bar Kapara. So now Gemara says, Zar Shishimesh B'Shabbat B'Mai. Now, when we talk about the case of an individual who's not a Kohen doing Avodah on Shabbat, what avoda did he do that it was asura to him? Ibishchita. If it's shchita, shchita bizar ksheira. When it comes to shchita by azar is totally kasher. V'ibikabala, v'holacha. If you're doing, talking about the four major avodot that are done by the Qurban, the first is Shechita, which even a Zara can do. The next three are Kabbalat Adam, the receiving of the Dam into the receptacle, Holacha, taking the Dam to the Mizbeach, and the last one, and putting that Dam on the Mizbeach. So now, if you're talking about Kabbalah Holacha, Tiltol Ba'almohu, that's just carrying. There's no problem of carrying. Maybe it's Muksa, maybe it's a problem of carrying in a problem part that a Carmelite. Those are all Isurim Midrabanan. So that can't be the issue of Isur Chalal Isur. We're talking about Isurei Derabban over there. What problem of Shabbat do you have that's Midoraita in carrying these items? Iba Haktoro, if you're talking about Haktorah. Now the question of Haktoro over here is obviously not talking about Zrikat Adam, because again there's no Isur Shabbat and Zrikat Adam, but it's actually placing of the objects on the Mizbeach. What it means by Haktorah, you can either say Haktorah, which is a terminology that's used by Ketoret, it's Haktorah Haktoret, or the way Rashi explains it over here is Haktorah is the placing of the fats on the Mizbeach. It's placing the fats and the parts of the Korban that go on the Mizbeach. You're putting it onto the pyre that is on the Mizbeach. The problem with that is, this is Vishitat Rabbi Yossi. V'amar Rabbi Yossi harvaro l'lav yatzta. The pasuk by Havara, which is Lotavaru Esh b'chol moshbotechem, the Gemara wants to know, why was that pasuk designated or singled out? Of all the 39 malachot, we never have a mention of any of the malachot in detail. It's never enumerated in the Torah. The only exception to that is Havara. So it's a machlokes as to why that is the case. The other opinion is that it's l'chalek yatzat. It comes to tell you that if you do all 39 malachot, you're chayav separately for each malacha chatat. And it's not just one Isur of Gota Semelacha b'Shabbat. So it's come to teach you, just like Havara is singled out, every Melacha is an individual Isur. Rabbi Yossi's of the opinion that it's there, Lalav Yatzot. That comes to teach you that Havara has a different punishment than the other Isurim or Avot Melachot on Shabbat. The other Avot Melachot, if you do them b'mezid, will result in an Isur Karet or Isur Skila, depending if you have Edim and Hatra'ah. And b'Shogeg you'll bring a Korban Chatat. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, by Havara, it's only a lav. It's just an Isur lav. So if you do it with Mezid, you'll get Malkot. If you do it with Shogeg, you won't bring any Korban. But if it's Rabbi Yossi, then it's the lav yatzat. So it's only just a lav. Okay. Even if it's just only a lav, why isn't that sufficient over here? If it's a lav, then you have an Isur lav of Shabbat, and you have an Isur lav of Zar. What you see here is that there is a requirement by Isur Kolel, as we mentioned before by Tosafot, that the Isur that's being added on is a more Hamur Isur. The Isur is of a stronger nature. And so over here, if we reduce Havara down to a lav, Zarut is already a lav. So to say another lav is going to sit on top of it, that's not going to happen by an Isur Kolel. By Isur Kolel, you need Shem Achat according to Tosafot, plus you need an Isur more Hamur. And so lav would not be sufficient over here. So Amar Rav Acher Bar Yaakov b'shchitat paro shel kohen gadol. Talking about the shchita of the par of the kohen gadol on Yom HaKippurim. Case on Yom HaKippurim, because on Yom Kippur there is a requirement that the kohen gadol do all the avoda. So there it says in the parsha in Achrimot, it uses the term Arom, which refers to a kohen gadol. It uses the term Chukah, which is a terminology which means that it's me'akev. And based on that, we're going to say that any avoda that needs to be done in Yom Kippur has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, otherwise it's not kasher. Now, there is a dissenting opinion in the Gemara and Yoma that Shechita does not have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. But assuming like the Shechita that it has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, then a Zar who does this would be, okay, Divrei Omer, Shechita Parosh Kohen Gadol, Zar Psula. That if the Shechita of the Par Kohen Gadol is done by someone else, it's called Psula. Now, Zar over here can now change the definition of Zar. Zar no longer has to be simply a Yisrael. It can even be a Kohen Hedjot. Because vis-a-vis a Kohen Gadol, he is also a Zar. And that's what Gemara says here. Iochi Mayiri a Zar. Even a Kohen Hedjot in this situation is considered to be a Zar. Gemara says, Shazar Etzlo Kamar. It's not talking about a Zar in the traditional sense of Zar being a non-Kohen. Zar here just means anybody who's not qualified to do the Melocha. So over here, the Kohen is not qualified to do the Shechita that the Kohen Gadol needs to do. Therefore, he's called a Zar. He's a Zar because he's not qualified. And therefore, the term Zar has a broader definition here, not just to mean Yisrael, but it even means a Kohen Hedjot. So here, we have to assume that Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbat, And it's Zar Sheshimesh B'Shabbat, means anybody who's not the Kohen Gadol, who shechted the Korbanot on Yom HaKippurim instead of the Kohen Gadol, they're doing a Melacha on Shabbat of Shechita, a Melacha that is more Chamor than the Isser Zarut, and therefore with Isser Kolel it will be Chal, and there will be Isser Chal Isser according to Rabbi Yossi. So there's where we have an Isser Deoraita, a Melacha Deoraita that is more Chamor than the Isser Zarut, and that's why it will be Chal, be Isser Kolel. So Matgva Ravashi, Mide Chataot Ktani, Olavi Ktani. Wait a minute. Did Rabbi Yossi say that we're talking about, when he says Chayv Shtayim, does he say that you're Chayav Chataot here, or you're Chayav Lavin over here? Who says that he's enumerating items that are punishments? Ela Isura Ba'alma Kochoshi. He's just enumerating the Isurim that you're in violation over here. L'may Nafkamina. What's a Nafkamina if you're enumerating Isurim? Okay, so ain't Isur Chala Isur, but then why does it matter that there is Isurim over here? The Kovro Ben Rishayim Gimurim, which is Rashi's Girsa. As I mentioned yesterday, the other Rishonim have a Girsa of the Kovro Ben Rishayim Chamurim. Rashi says Rishayim Gimurim is a reference to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that he's buried in the area where the most severely punished of those that are punished or executed by Beit Din are buried. He'll be buried alongside them. Most of the Rishonim, including Tosafot, say no, that it means Rishayim Chamurim is that he's in a segregated section of the cemetery where they bury people who violated two Isurim in this manner. The Gemara objects this, that we're speaking about Shechita. To which case is he going back to? Now, we don't have this in our Rashi, but the Tosfot Yishanim over here mentioned that Rashi says over here, the Olam b'Kabbalah v'Holacha. The Rashi says that we're talking about the case of Kabbalah and Holacha, and that's what we're going back to. How many Isurim is he in violation of? So what about the fact that there's no Chatat and there's no Isur Lav by Kabbalah and Holacha? Because that's not an Isur Doraita, that's only a possible Isur Drabanan. That's Bisurei, we're just counting Isurei. So that's why Tosfot Yishanim quotes Rashi as saying. And he says, V'lo Nihira, says that doesn't seem right to me. Da ein ze Isura, came into Enol Tiltul, das Surmi Drabanan. That's still not called an Isur, it's only an Isur Drabanan. Chay Nira Dekaya Had Amri Leel, Iba Havara. That is a case of either of Havara, which is the other Girsa here, Havara or Haktara or Bishul, that the placing of the item on the Mizbeach, that was what we're going back to. Even though Rabbi Yossi Lishitato says Havara the Lav Yatzat, and in that case it would not be Chal, because it's an Iser Kal, as Tosafot explains over here, V'chein Geres Rabbeinu Chananel, Denkan Lo Chatat V'lo Lav. Even though we're going back to Havara and Haktara, why is there no Lav over here? Came to Lo Chayel Iser Kal Al Chamur, because that's an Iser Kal, because it's only a Lav Yatzat, and it won't be Chal, and so then what's the whole point of saying Shtayim here? It's because of Isurei. You're right, Ein Ochanami, he's not going to be Chayef for Lav, he's not Chayef for Chatat, he's just Isurim. How many Isurim did he violate at this time? So Tosfot is consistent here over and over again, saying that by Isur Kolel, unless you have a more Chamur item to add on, then Isur Kolel does not apply, and also that's to be Mishem Achat. So that's why, in the end, even in the Shita of Rabbi Chiya, when explaining that you're chayav shtayim by Isur Kolel, Le Rabbi Yossi says that you're chayav for Isur Kolel shtayim in these cases, the second one will not take in effect because it's an Isur Kal. And the only issue that we're discussing over here is the question of how many Isurim did he violate. So that's why over here we're not talking about punishments, real violations of a lav or a chiyub chatat, simply talking about Isurim. And therefore, you don't have to explain that it's a case of Shechita of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim, which a Zayir, a non-Kohen Gadol, does. You can even explain it in the case of Havara or Haktara, where, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's only the Lav Yatzat. Nevertheless, it's still problematic because he violated two Isurim, even though he won't be held culpable for that second Isur, Isur Kolel, according to Rabbi Yossi, because it lacks the requirement of the second Isur being more Chamur, in order for it to be Isur Chal Isur in those instances. So from the perspective of any Isur Chal Isur, you're right, the Isur is not Chal. From the perspective of the severity of what this person's doing, he clearly violated two Isurim, and therefore he'll be buried in the place of people who violate that many Isurim or two Isurim in this manner. Okay, now the next Mishnah says, Shnayim shekidshu shtei nashim. So two people who married two women, individuals here have no relationship to each other. Two independent people married two independent women. Ubshat knisatam lechupa. And then, when it came to the consummation of the marriage, hechlifu et shelzeh lezeh vet shelzeh lezeh. The women got mixed up, and they ended up with the wrong woman. Hareu chayavim mishum eshedish. Over here, it might be bishogeg, but they violated the Easter of eshedish over here because they ended up being together with the woman that they weren't married to, but married to the other individual. Vim ayuachim, if these two men that we spoke about before had no relationship, what happens if they were brothers? Mishum eshedach. Then you add on an additional problem. If the women get swapped out, then you not only have a problem of eshedish, you also have a problem of eshedach. Vimayu achayot. If the women that they married were sisters, so it's two brothers marrying two sisters, mishum ishal achuta. Then you have an additional issur when the women get swapped out of not only eshedish, eshedach, but also of achot ishto. Vimayu nidot. If the women are also nidot, mishum nida. Then there also be chayav for nida. So you have four isurim that are violated here in this mistaken swap of the women. Umefishin otan shlosha chodoshim. After this happens, we force them to separate for 3 months. Shema mu'ubarotein, because maybe they became impregnated from the problematic bia. So we want to wait 3 months to ensure that any children that are born from their true husband once they go back to their real husband, and not from this problematic relationship. Bimayuk tanot, she'inan ruyot leleit. If they were minors who do not have the ability to give birth, meaning they cannot become impregnated, then they go back to their regular husband right away because there's no question about the problem of mamzerut or a problematic pregnancy. If they were kaonot, then they lose out in truma because this illicit bia makes them into a zona. A zona is a terminology that's used for anyone who engages in illicit relations. So here, because of the fact that they got swapped out and they had these illicit relations, they take on a shame zona, and that shame zona prevents them from participating in the truma. The question comes, if he passes away and they don't have children and she goes back to her father's house, then in that instance, she has a classification of a zona and she would not be able to participate in the truma of Beit Avia because of that classification. Now the Gemara says, Hichlifu. The Mishnah says that they swapped the women. Not that the women were swapped, but they actively swapped the women. Midei b'rishia eskinan? What, we're talking about Rishaim here who are swapping out their wives? That's what the Mishnah is addressing? Vitu. Hat detani Rabbi Chiya areikan shesusrei chataot. Rabbi Chiya says here that you have the need for 16 chataot. Ibim ezid miiko korban. If we're talking about intentional swapping of the women, why would you have chataot? Now here, there are four participants in the problem here. You have the two brothers and the two sisters. Each one of them is going to require four chatot. One for eshedish, one for eshedach, one for achot isha, and one for nida. So that's how you get to the 16 chatot over here, because you have four isurim for four individuals, that's 16 chatot. But if they hechlipu, they did this intentionally, there's no chatot to bring because it's b'mezid and not b'shogeg. So I'm Rav Yehuda, t'nei chuchlufu. Change the girsa on the Mishnah. You mend the Mishnah to read chuchlufu, that were switched. It was an accidental switch. It wasn't an intentional switch. How can I be mistavro? That makes a lot of sense. Tani seifa. Because let's look at the latter half of the Mishnah. Imayu k'tanot, she'en ruayot aleileid, magzirin otan miyad. If they were k'tanot that cannot become impregnated, you can give them back to their real husbands right away. V'ibe mezid mishariyo. If she intentionally had an extramarital affair, or the switch was done intentionally over here, she can't go back to her husband. It says, halokasho. That's not a problem, because pitui ketana onis ninu. Even though the relationship over here with the ketana was consensual, when it comes to consensual by a ketana, we consider that to be a seduction, and the seduction of the ketana is considered like onis. Because she's, we'll call it outwitted, outmaneuvered here by an adult. And therefore, even though they were convinced to engage in a consensual relationship, it's really like ones, it's really like a rape, because they don't have the ability to really fight back or say no. So their acquiescence is really not a true acquiescence. So that's how we could explain it. We could explain over here that they are innocent victims over here, and that's why they're allowed to go back to their husbands. Ones b'Yisrael, Mishra Shari. A woman who is raped and married to an Israel, she's allowed to go back to her husband because she was not a consensual relationship. So over here, the ketana, even though it was consensual, will be classified like a case of ones, and she'll be able to return to her husband. Elek detani, well, now the other part of the mission that says, Mafrishin otan shlosha chodashim, shem mubrotein. We separate them out for 3 months, because maybe they're pregnant. Halab mubarot. If they're not pregnant, shariam, we let them go back to their husbands. Vibe mezid mi shari, again, here, where they could have become impregnated means that she's already a gdola. If she engaged in a consensual extramarital affair, she's not allowed to go back to her husband. So why would you let her go back to her husband? Elav shmamina, huchlefu, shmamina. It must be that the case here is like a case of shogeg, huchlefu, where it happened by accident. It wasn't intentional switching of the women. And that's how we got into this problem. And that's why it's a case of shogeg, and that's why there's sheshes rei chataot over here. And that's, we're not dealing with rishaim. We're dealing with people who made a mistake. Seems like a preventable mistake. That's why it's called a shokeg. It was unintentional, but preventable. It's not an ones where it's a complete accident. But being a shogeg, they are now chayev chataot for all of these problems, all of these shemot. The reason that we're going to discuss this now and coming up is discussing how you have all four of these nisurim be chal together because of the problem of ein isur chal al isur. So we're going to have to find who's the author of this mishnah in order to understand how these nisurim are all chal together. So we're going to stop here at the end of Lamed Gimel Amud Bet.